with our kind of shortened time today, I'm going to give us a little bit of a homily meditation from our gospel reading today. I found it to be a very fitting meditation as we move towards our picnic later in terms of not making such a fuss about things that are not the true feast, but still truly feasting together. So I want to invite us to pray as we come to God's word for a few minutes together today. Lord, I thank you that none of us are here by accident, that you have purposed us to be here, that we might choose the good portion that cannot be taken from us. And so please reveal yourself to us in the power of your Holy Spirit through your word and through your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the story of the Good Samaritan and the story of the busy Martha go hand in hand. You don't usually call this story the busy Martha, but I thought it was a helpful Good Samaritan, busy Martha union. Luke puts these two stories in his narrative side by side. So the activity of compassionate, earnest neighbor love and kingdom work is not meant to be confused with the priority of the kingdom. Or maybe to say it in a way that we hear every week, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. And the second is like it, but it is not it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. So the priority of life in the kingdom is the king. The first and greatest commandment is truly meant to be first and greatest in the kingdom. God's new creation people are to be active in love towards those around them, but not just for activity's sake, not just to be busy and distracted and anxious and rootless and fussy, but always focused and choosing Christ as the good portion that cannot be taken from us. That's the overall idea of Luke putting these two narratives together, two stories together in his narrative. And so to strengthen our faith in keeping the first and greatest commandment, first and greatest today, I want to ask two questions. The first one might not be as obvious as the second one. The first question is, are we aware of our deliverance from darkness? Are we aware of our deliverance from darkness? So this is not the first encounter of Mary and Jesus. Although possibly it's Martha's, which is an interesting piece of the meditation. We learn this at the beginning of chapter 8 in Luke's gospel, which if those of you who maybe know a bit more about Mary and Martha, biblically speaking, I'm taking the interpretive slant that Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany are the same person. So that's kind of the traditional view of Mary's here, not so much the modern scholarship view. I think it helps in terms of arriving at a helpful meditation for our text today. So that's why I'm taking that, just so you're aware, just in case you're wondering. So we learned that Mary has been encountered by Jesus at the beginning of chapter 8, where we learn that Mary's life has been a bit messy. Her previous encounter with Jesus resulted in her being delivered from 7 demons. So we don't have that story recorded. It's just kind of a simple statement. This Mary who was delivered by 7 demons and then followed Christ around. We don't have that story recorded, but in the same chapter, just a few verses after we meet Mary for the first time, we do have a deliverance from demons story, which is why I'm kind of roping this all in together. We come upon a man in a graveyard who is delivered from a legion of demons, and they're sent into the herd of pigs. You remember that one? We've come to it a couple times in our teaching over the last couple years. And the connection I want to draw for us today is that when the people who'd known this man previously came to him again, after his deliverance, what they found was that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and the people were afraid. Delivered from darkness, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and the people are afraid. Now, here, just a little bit further along in Luke's narrative, we have Mary, delivered from darkness, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in her right mind. And the people around her, they're not just afraid, they're actually angry. Martha's angry that Mary is not helping. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, is painfully and beautifully aware of her need of Christ's power to deliver her from darkness, while Martha is not. Those of us who maybe life hasn't at least so immediately been so messy for, or at least our competencies have been such that we've been able to exercise them in a way that life has gone decently for us, we often find it difficult to be needy. That we're actually needy people. I would imagine that Mary and Martha had their tensions over the years. And Martha is here given to us as the exemplar of faith, while I'm sure Martha had lived a much better life. Those of us, again, who have exercised our competencies in such a way that life has gone decently well for us, find it hard to admit that we don't just need a little help in the kitchen. That's not what we need. But what we need is a total deliverance from the domain of darkness. The darkness of choosing other things over God is a true darkness. To offend against the first and greatest commandment is to commit the first and greatest offense. It might not immediately present itself to us as a legion of demons in our lives, but it does result in the same enslavement in the end. And so this language of deliverance is actually from our Colossians reading from last week. We had read, and it said, "In Christ, God has delivered his people from the domain of darkness, transferred them into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." And so I think the question that is sort of the subtext setting the table for Mary and Martha's narrative for us today is, are we walking in the awareness of our need for deliverance from darkness? That we don't just need a little bit of help to boost our competencies. We need comprehensive deliverance from the corruption of sin and demonic wisdom and power in our life that creates falsehood and distorted desires and unrighteousness in our minds and our bodies and in our lives. Mary is the example to us of not just needing a little bit of help from God, but a total deliverance, a whole new life and union with God at the feet of Jesus, clothed in our right minds, where Christ himself is all. The first and greatest commandment is first and greatest for us because it is our greatest good, and that there is no other good gift that stays good if that good is not the first good. I don't know if you're tracking with that. Where apart from Christ, there is no life. That's the priority and the precedence of the kingdom. And it brings us actually to our second question. Are we attending to the true feast? So are we aware of our need for deliverance, and then are we attending to the true feast? Martha was busy. She's working on a feast. She was distracted, anxious, angry, attending to a feast, but making a fuss because she was missing the feast happening in her house. the true meal that was already laid out for her under her own roof. God himself with her in her home. And we, like Martha, are always going to be tempted to attend to other feasts of life. Family, career, hobbies, sports, bills, home projects. Those are like semi-positive. Bills aren't, I guess, that positive. But like, those are like decent things. There's plenty of things that otherwise distract us. None of those things are necessarily bad. But here's the thing. They do go bad when we cling to them as if they're supposed to always be there. Beautiful, generous, rich hospitality is truly generous, rich, and beautiful. We want to be a church that throws a good party, that has a great after-service picnic together. We want to do that, but picnics are pointless if it's not with the feast of Christ. If the priority is not our gathering together in God's presence for the healing and well-being of our souls and sent out in the joy of that presence to love God and neighbor. So, good gifts will rot in our hands if we hold on to them past their expiration point, which comes a lot faster than we would think. They're not meant to satisfy, at least not the way that God is meant to satisfy. God only is the one who gives the food that saves and sustains and satisfies us eternally. Feasting on any other good gift other than God himself is a life of dead works and a hollow husk apart from God. And so the priority that this passage is trying to bring us to kind of land the plane for us, the priority of Christ and his gospel message is to know and love God, who knows and loves us. For the first commandment to truly be first, because it's our highest good to have God as the true gift, who brings deliverance from death and life eternal in his life and death and resurrection. That God is the one who made a good creation and has redeemed a good creation out of that rot into eternal life. And so heaven's hospitality, which we share in the gathering of the saints always at Christ's word and table, heaven's hospitality, heaven's feast, the meal and portion that God offers us in his grace is true food and true drink. Jesus' word and life broken, shed, and given is the feast where all other gifts are given in such a way that we can receive them for all eternity. That they all take their rightful place around the giver, the true fountain of life, the spring of living water, the chosen portion, the good portion that cannot be taken from us when we have taken hold of him and he of us. And so again, to bring these two things together in terms of this good Samaritan and fussy Martha story, I don't know if that's a great way to put that, but to put those two together, Kingdom fruitfulness and abiding in Christ go hand in hand. These are not separable categories for us. The Good Samaritan and the anxious Martha and the abiding Mary show us that deep abiding faith and working really hard faith go hand in hand. That the first commandment is first, but the second is like it. The first and greatest commandment has first and greatest precedence and priority, and the second flows from that. God means for us to be like trees planted by the stream of Christ, drawing up our life from his living water of life, producing fruit in its season. So he is the priority, being with him and in him, but fruitfulness is the result. And so, Lord, let it be that by your pardoning and empowering grace, you would lead us to a total devotion to yourself. that we would let go of all of the other good gifts that we are trying to cling to give us the life that only you can give. To give them up before they rot in our hands. And to cling to you, the true meal, the good portion that cannot be taken from us. That you are the tree of life. That in you we have life. And lead us to be fruitful with your life, your good Samaritan life, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.